Matthew chapter 22 is where we'll be this morning, beginning in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. There it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.'" Let's pray. Lord, we have just sung and asked that your Spirit move in this place. Lord, I know the reality for my own heart is there are many times where I am not aware of your presence. God, every one of us in this room needs you this morning. Lord, forgive us for looking around and comparing to others, even thinking more highly of ourselves or lowly of ourselves. Lord, every one of us in this room needs you. So I pray in this moment that you would speak to us through your word, that your Spirit would do what I cannot do, that you would bring hope to those that are hopeless. You would bring joy to those that are downcast. You'd bring awakening to those that are complacent, direction to those that are lost. God, that you would do what only you can do. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick show of hands. How many of you have ever had a day at work where you just felt like you just bombed it? You didn't do good. Show of hands. And if you could, would you do a redo? Sometimes you get the opportunity, you mess it up, you get to go redo, right? Well, if you're a observant member of Cartlidge Creek Baptist Church, you will know that last week we read this same passage, right? We did this passage last week, and just a little self-reflection, I think there's parts of it I just kind of bombed last week, so we're going to do it again. There you go. We're going to do it again this week. A little bit different angle this week. There were some things that from this passage that I wanted to move on. The Lord just, I felt like he wanted us to stay here because there's some things that we did not really hit last week and we need to. The context, Jesus, this is the last week of Jesus' life before he's crucified. He knows it's coming. He's tried to tell his disciples it's coming, but they haven't really understood it. So you can imagine if you had an end date to your life and you're in the last week, what are you going to do, right? He's spending his time answering questions from all these people that are opposing him. They're trying to trap him, trying to catch him, right? Because he sees it, what we would see as an obstacle, he sees as an opportunity. What we see as something that's in the way, he sees it as the very thing that's going to bring him glory. Which is also true in your life as well, in my life as well. The things we see as obstacles are often the opportunities for God to get the most glory, to shine the brightest. He always shines brightest in the darkness. Amen? So here it is, this dark moment. The Pharisees are questioning him and they ask him, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he answered, we looked at this last week, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the greatest and foremost, and the second is like it." So he kind of gave him a bonus answer, right? There's answer A, and here's the extra credit answer on top of it. Or if you're taking a test and you think you got the right answer, but you're not quite sure, you want to add on the end in case you got it wrong, that maybe the extra part was right, right? That's not what he's doing here. He's summing it all up. He says, the second is like the first. The second, and this is where we're going to hang out today, verse 39. He says, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And on these two, it says, hang all the law and the prophets. They depend upon it. They sum up the law and the prophets. If you want, that was like the Cliff Notes version of the first half of your Bible. Love God, love people. Very simple, right? We looked at this last week. We don't do it so well. But we're hanging out on this verse now. Love others. This is a simple phrase. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to try to unpack this morning. Just simple. That's a simple phrase. Love others as you love yourself. So we're going to start there. What does it mean? He gives the condition, how you're supposed to do it. He says you're supposed to love as you, and that's important, as you love yourself. What does that mean? Because, I mean, it's almost like I'm supposed to love people as much as I love me. Does that mean I'll do everything for them that I would do for me? That seems a little bit extreme, right? How you understand what that means? Some of you are in the room like, I don't love myself. So that lets me off the hook. I don't have to love anybody else either because I don't even like me. What's it mean? So in one sense, to love yourself is he's hitting on something that is innate in every one of. There is built in you. You are wired the way you are created. You don't have to teach people often to love themselves. It's just something that comes naturally to us because it's part of the way we are designed. You don't have to teach a kid to love themselves or to think of themselves first, if you want to phrase it that way. Because that's what love of self is. It's kind of thinking of self first. Do you have to teach a child to think of themselves first? And the answer is emphatically no. Everybody shake your head no. It's emphatically no. You don't have to teach people. This seems like us. No. What happened, the problem for us is when we start looking at this and trying to apply it to what we do with other people, is the love for ourselves has been distorted because of the fall. Because of sin in our lives, sinful nature has distorted how we love ourselves and then in turn how we love others. But in the very basic principle he's laying out here, that you're supposed to love others as naturally as you love yourself. So what happens naturally, the decisions you just make, and you may not even realize it. I know some of us in the room, a little self-righteous, we think, well, I always think of others. I don't think of myself. You find those people in church. We pat ourselves on the back on all that we do for others, and we want to take pictures of it and post it on Instagram and, you know, tweet about it, like how all the great things we're doing. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but understand that underneath that, the underlying motivation oftentimes of what we do for others is because of how it's going to make us feel or how it's going to make us look. Or how others will view us because of what we do. And all of that is centered on still self-love, right? So love others as you love yourself. What does that mean, the phrase love yourself? Well, the key, this is why these two commands are not they're not separable. They need to stay together. Because hear me, love for self is what drives most of us for every decision we do. Because you are looking for happiness, which is designed, we're designed for happiness. You're loving yourself, you look for happiness. The problem is you look for it in the wrong place. When we look for meaning and purpose, that's loving self. The problem is we look for it in the wrong place. And so the first commandment is key on this because when it tells you to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, it's telling you with all your heart, all that you desire, the happiness you desire, you find by loving God and then in turn finding His love in you. The soul, the meaning and purpose that you're looking for in life, if you find it first in loving God and in that relationship, then in turn it will you'll find who you really are and the distortion will be corrected. And with all your mind, loving God with all your mind, the way you think and the way you approach life and the worldview you have, if you're loving God with all your mind, then you see that God's the one that created your mind and you find meaning and purpose and understanding and wisdom. And it flows out of that relationship. So then if I am seeing myself clearly in light of who God is and understanding His love for me, then in turn I begin to love myself in the way that is correct and holy and pleasing to God. And if I'm doing that, Do you see how it carries over? Now it's that type of love, that sacrificial kind of love, that putting others first kind of love. Then it starts to carry over to others. Understand what this love is. It is a holy, God-centered, God-guided love. There are distortions that we fall into. So let's just throw some out there real quick. Abusive relationships. You can say, well, I love the person, so I'm going to take whatever fill in the blank because I love them. Well, see, what's happened is we're not seeing ourselves clearly because we're not loving God with all our mind and we're not experiencing His love clearly, so we're looking to someone else and buying into the twisted, perverted version of love that they're offering us, and we buy into it and succumb to it and go with it because we're not understanding God's love for us. There are parameters to this love. It's not a embrace everything and all kind of love. Do you do that with yourself? Well, some of us do. That's called sin, right? But there's certain things that we're not, like, I'm not going to, you know, I love myself. Listen, I love myself too much to let you come just cut my finger off. You say, well, it's going to make me happy. It's going to make me feel better to cut your finger off. My self-love is going to say, I'm sorry, I draw the line right there. I need that finger, all right? In fact, I think I need all 10 of them. I like them all. Like, there's a line that's drawn there. Wisdom draws a line and says, no, that's detrimental to me as well. Like, I can't, like, there's this notion of understanding how we love God and love others as we love ourselves. There's a line, an innate line within us that understands there's some things that are detrimental to us and we can't cross. God's Word gives us those lines to follow through when we love others and when we love ourselves. There's lines there that I cannot put myself above God. That's why it says love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't say love your neighbor that way. It says love God that way, and then out of that, He will give you a love for someone else. It has to flow from that relationship with Him. We love, as it says in 1 John, we love because He first loved us. And we've got this so distorted in our culture. It's almost like we've tried to reverse it. I'm going to love others however I feel like it, and then in turn try to understand God. I'm going to love the way I want to love, and I'll do for others. No, it's not the way. It's this idea that your love for God becomes so natural that it flows out so that your love for others is just habit. It's just habit forming. So hear me today. Some of us, we don't even need to go to the part about loving neighbors because we're not understanding God's love for us. And if you miss that, then there's going to be all kinds of heartache and destruction over here. If you don't understand God's love for you and in turn love Him back, you're going to miss it. If you don't understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, a creation of God in His image with value and worth in and of yourself, no matter what anybody else says about you, if you don't understand that, then you're going to look for validation in someone else. You're going to look for your identity in someone else or in something else, in your job, in your status, in your title, which is okay, but then what happens when it's gone? What happens when it's taken away? What happens when the relationship's taken away or the job title's taken away or the money's taken away or the possessions are taken away and then you've placed your identity in that? Now you just fall. You find it in Christ that you are His creation and that He has a love that is for you that is greater than anything that anybody else can provide for you. Some of us have to start there, but listen, that's not where we end. It can't just stop there. We're to love others as we love ourselves. If I'm understanding how God loves me and then I'm starting to see myself that way and loving myself in the right way, then I'm more likely to love others the right way. So then the second question comes, and it didn't come in this gospel, but it came in the gospel of Luke. Same situation. The question, the follow-up question that the person asked there, after what's the greatest commandment, Jesus says, love God, love others. Do you remember the question that they ask? Who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Jesus answers that question with a story, an illustration. And you know it by the Good Samaritan, right? And if those of you who've been in church, you know that story, Good Samaritan. There's two religious people. There's a man traveling, gets beat up, left on the side of the road. Two different types of religious people come by, see the man, cross the other side of the road and go around. And then a Samaritan, who's not even a full Jew, the lowest they despise, stops, helps the man, gives him everything he needs, uses his own donkey, carries the man, uses his own money to pay for the man a place to stay, and then promises to come back and pay for all that was needed to take care of the man so that he can restore, right? And we've heard that story. Some of you have been in church before. You've heard that story. You're like, oh yeah, Good Samaritan, supposed to help those in need. Got it. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? But what we miss are the implications. Listen, who is your neighbor? That's the question, right? Jesus was trying to hit home a point to them that your neighbor isn't just who you want it to be. So when you hear the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, I want you to think of, I'm looking around the room. I shouldn't say this. All right, I'm looking around. Let's just say Ashley's little baby up here, all right? You need to love Ashley's baby as you love yourself. Right now, if you could see where I'm standing, it's just, she's taking a bottle. She's like, looks like she's almost asleep. She's just cute and precious, just like Grady. You know, I mean, she woke up to that. She's like, I mean, you can't see it from back there. We maybe need a live feed from up here so they can see it. I mean, it's just, you're like, oh, that, oh, man, who could not love her? I mean, she's so cute and precious, right? Jesus' point isn't love the people that are easy to love. You're already doing that. It's love the people that are not easy to love. Who's your neighbor? Part of our problem is we don't even recognize who our neighbors are anymore. Listen, I know I grew up, I'm old enough to know what it's like to live in a neighborhood where you knew people, right? Now you live in neighborhoods that you don't know people. Why? Because we don't talk to anybody anymore. Oh, we know them in the sense that I can know like who my neighbor is and I can look them up and stalk them on Facebook and see all their pictures and see what they do and what they like, and then I'm like, I don't think I want to get to know them. So we just kind of, you know, put a privacy wall up on that side of the yard, right? And you go to work and you say, well, I know my coworkers, but I'm there 8 to 5 and I'm getting out of it. I don't want to know them, right? Because that complicates things at work. And what if they're like some kind of like, what if they got issues, right? Then we got family members, and we know their issues, but we don't want to love them, right? We had to see them once. We had to, guess what? Thanksgiving's coming up. Some of you need to start preparing now, right? Because they're going to be there, and you got to deal with them, right? But you're like, I don't want to, like, it's easy for, like, we tend to want to label who our neighbor is. We want to answer the question just like the religious leaders did in that story. They said the Samaritan, they said that injured man on the side of the road and the Samaritan were not their neighbors. That's not what Jesus means to love your neighbor. He means love people like me. Listen, it's easy to love people like you. It's easy to love lovable people. But Christ calls you to love people that are not lovely. Christ calls you to love people that are disrespectful. Christ calls you to love people that don't hold the same views as you. Despite what our culture tells us today, whatever your voter registration says on it, Christ says that you are to love your neighbor. So if your voter registration card says that you are a Republican, guess who Christ says you're supposed to love? Republicans, that's right. And Democrats. And independents. And libertarians. And people that don't even vote. You got to love all of them. If you're from the South and you like sweet tea, Christ says you're supposed to love people that drink unsweet tea. I agree. That's worth crying about. Like, and we make fun of it, but listen, it's easy for us to get blinders on and say, you're supposed to be known as a follower of Christ. You're supposed to be known as a person who loves. And when we say, what kind of love? We're talking about not just good old Southern charm like, oh, how you doing? Good to see you. I don't really want to know. Don't answer that question. It's just good to see you. God bless. See you later. No, not that kind of love. We're talking about messy, get down in the ditch, Samaritan kind of love, right? We're talking about pick somebody up when they're down, and maybe they go back down again. We're talking about persistent love. When they don't even reply, they don't even respond to your love, they don't want to be loved, and yet you say, you know what? All right, I got to back off, but I'm still going to pray for you, right? That kind of love, with hope that they're going to turn. Not just, you know what? I'm done with you. It's the kind of love that says, you know what, I'm not going to enable you, and I'm going to speak the truth in love. It's the kind of love that says, you know what, I'm going to risk you not liking me right now, because what you need to hear is the truth. I can't just embrace all that you're doing. Out of love, I believe sin is detrimental, and I believe it is destructive to your soul, and I believe that there is only one God and one Savior, and I know you don't believe in Him, but I want you to know what I believe, and I'm not going to shove it down your throat, but hear me, because I believe it's true, and I believe there's a real place called hell, and if I love you, then I want you to spend an eternity in heaven. And if I love you, I want you to get relationships right. And if I love you, I don't want you to just bounce from job to job to job to job the rest of your life because you're looking for meaning and purpose in that instead of God. And if I love you, I want you to understand that your kids cannot be your soul identity. And I'm going to have to somehow tell you that because you've elevated them too high and they have become your God and your idol. If I love you, I need to tell you that sports has become your idol and you're like living your life for that, or money has become your idol, or vacation, or like, see, that's the kind of love we're talking about. Loving neighbor doesn't mean you just pat them on the back and smile. It means that you're intentional. It means you're sacrificial. It means sometimes you're willing to have difficult conversations. It doesn't mean you're the sin police that runs around and like yells at everybody. It means sometimes you keep your mouth shut because they're not ready to hear it yet. It means sometimes you give up things that are dear to you for their sake. And it means sometimes you take your hands off and you let them fall because they've got to fall to turn to God. This is a hard kind of love. This is a really difficult kind of love. And what I'm afraid is that too many of us in the church, we want to say that we're loving people, but we're not willing to do this kind of love because we're stuck on ourselves, because this is costly kind of love, because there may not be the return on this kind of love, and it may not be an immediate return on this kind of love, but we're called to love others as ourself. And so I just want to stop for a second this morning and ask you, who is it that you are actively loving right now? Who is your neighbor? Who, and if we can clarify that a little bit clearer based off the story from Luke, who is it in your life right now that is distant from God? Difficult maybe to love, maybe not. Maybe they're easy to love, but they don't know God. Who is it that you are actively loving? See, you notice what Jesus didn't say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second commandment is like it, invite people to church. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. That's not the second commandment. It's almost like we've given, over the years of church, we've given you an out to say, well, loving people is simply just inviting them to church. That may be a loving thing to do. But listen, I know a lot of people in Richmond County right now that have no interest in coming to church because they have not experienced love from a Christian. Do you hear that? They have not experienced true love. We think we are loving. Right now, look around the room real quick. Look around real quick. See somebody around you. Look, see these people? They look like loving people, right? I mean, when you looked around, did you see? Well, actually, I did, some of you. But like, did you look around and see anybody going? Anybody flip you off? I hope not, right? Somebody flipped you off this morning when you're looking around. I mean, you look like loving people. Like, I think in general, we're kind of nice people, but are we actually this kind of loving people? Are you a loving person that loves people as you love yourself? Get in the ditch kind of loving person. Here's the reasons we're not. Well, let me say, here's the reasons I'm not. Number one, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I got 3 kids. Sports, obligations, bunch of bushes that need to be trimmed. I'm too busy. Number two, because probably I'm busy, I don't notice. I don't notice people around me. I don't notice. I see some people, but there's lots of people I don't even notice that they're there because I'm not even looking for it. I'm too busy. I don't notice. And number three, I'm afraid sometimes. I don't want to get to know them because I can just tell they got issues. I can just tell they got it. You know, I've noticed like when I go to stores, I get asked a lot if I'm like, I guess maybe everybody gets asked this. So I assume it's just me. It probably isn't. But I get asked a lot like, are you former military? And I always wonder, like, do I look like I've been in the military? Or do I have this look like I might lose it at any moment? Or, like, I don't, like, and I know lots of people have been in the military that don't lose it, so hear me out. But, like, I just always wonder, like, why do they ask me that all the time? Like, there's people I look at and I think, that person's going to lose it. They just don't look right. They don't, something seems off. You ever had, and that's just, I'm back up. You know, back up. I don't have time for that. I've actually made the statement to God in the last couple months, Lord, I've had my fill of crazy this week. Please don't bring anybody else. I can't handle any more. But listen, those are the kind of people, listen, those are the people that need, who needs Christ's love? We need it, yes, us in the church, we need it. We need to be reminded of it daily. But I'm trusting, if you know Christ, you've experienced it to some degree. But there are people in this county, we've had the statistics put out there, 5 miles, and within Rockingham, 10,000, right, that don't know Christ. There are people here that are struggling. There are people here that are addicted to things. There are people here that are just, they seem great on the outside. They have a good life, good job, good family, good car, good house, and yet we know from Scripture deep in their soul, they still need the love of Christ. And I'm seeing it over and over. Listen, it's happening. It seems more and more often. I get phone calls, people's marriages that are falling apart. Phone calls, people's kids are disowning them or just disassociated with them. And people having trouble. And it's like, it's just overwhelming at times. People that are having all kinds of mental issues, emotional issues. And it's like, we need the love of Christ in our lives. And listen, the only people that have it to give are you. So are we known, hear this, are we known as a church that really loves people? Now there's some things that we do as a church that I am really proud of and I think scream that we love people. Tonight's one of those things. The heart behind it, the packing the boxes, the prayer that goes into it, to send them to people that we'll never meet. It says there's some sacrifice that's been involved in it, time, effort, energy. You come tonight, it's sacrificing some, right? And we're sending it to people because we love them. The quilt ministry. evidence, I think, of sacrifice and time spent because they love and are showing love to people. And if you've ever delivered a quilt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The love that the people feel and experience when somebody's taken the time to make something for them and deliver it to them and prayed over them and prayed with them, it screams the love of Christ. So there are some things we're doing well, but listen, there's a lot of things we do that I'm not sure. We do them because we do them, but I'm not sure we actually have loving people in mind. Sometimes it's easy for a church to get centered on loving us and insulated in. Listen, this is the kind of love that's supposed to go. And the best way for that to happen is if it's you that is loving people. Listen, I don't know the people that live next door to you. Maybe some of them do, but most of them I don't. I don't know your neighbors. Chuck, we have that picture real quick. Can we put that up there? You see this? We did this before. If you can see this, it's a little bit blurry. It kind of looks like a weather map, like there's some storms in Richmond County. Lightning strikes. No, this is like a zoomed out version of Richmond County. And what we have plotted here are some of, not all, the houses of people represented by this church, where you live. Don't worry. We didn't like post it to the internet so nobody knows where your address is. But look, this is like, see how far out we're spread, right? We meet here on a Sunday morning in this little building in this church way out here, but we're spread throughout the county. Listen, there are people down here in, we got like Chuck and Gene and Ferry way out there. You know what I mean? Y'all are like almost another county away, right, to get here. I mean, like, they're spread out. Up in Ellerby, we got folks. There are people that live around you that need the love of Christ. If this church, if everyone in this room this morning bought in 100% and said, you know what, this week I am going to love people. Look at the range of the impact that could take place, right? Now, what I didn't have time to do is put additional dots on there of every place that you work. Right? And there'd be a bunch more dots up there, right? And say, here's more opportunities for impact because there's people that need love there. And then somehow, I mean, we got real elaborate, and then we just started plotting all your family members and all the people you know, and then everywhere you get gas and everywhere you eat, and then we start plotting all that. Guess what? Well, this map starts to get full of opportunities that would love people. We say, who's your neighbor? There are neighbors around you every day. You passed hundreds of them this past week and never even looked them in the eye because we were so busy and so distracted, right? We got our own stuff, our own issues, our own worries, and that's why these two commandments go hand in hand. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, guess what? You get focused on Him and all the things of this earth grow strangely dim, right? In the light of His glory and grace, it's like everything starts to fade. We start to focus on Him, and then guess what? He starts to bring people into mind, and you start seeing what He sees instead of what you see. You start seeing people the way He sees them, not the arrogant, prideful person that gets on your nerves, but the guy that's masking a lot of fear by just putting himself out there and criticizing everyone else. You start to see the quiet woman at work that doesn't want to have anything to do with anybody, you know what? Behind that is actually a woman that's really hurt and been hurt and has just found it safer to withdraw and not open herself up because then if she does, she gets hurt again. But she needs the love of Christ. You find family member that has consistently, and I mean consistently, let you down. That you can't trust from here to the back door. You love God. Guess what God can show you? That there's still hope. And it will take time. I'm not calling you to like trust Him right away, but that you have prayer and a prayer of hope for that person, that God has the long view in mind, that it may take 20 years, but God could turn that person and they could give glory to God. Do you know that every one of us in this room, we could take a snapshot of certain moments in your life and you were not very lovely, right? certain snapshots of your life, you were not very lovable. Certain snapshots of your life, someone else sees that snapshot and they say, man, I wouldn't want anything to do with them. I can't believe that, right? We've all got them. And you may feel like yours is worse than anybody else in the room, but we've all got them. And yet, hear this, if there's a God who could love you despite that snapshot and pour His love out towards you and pursue you and patiently wait on you and draw you and correct you and carry you, and if there's a God that can do that for you, then why in the world can that God not do that for someone else? And if that God can do that for someone else, then why in the world do I not want to be a part of that the best that I can? And why can I not have hope that God can do it? Because listen, when I look at my neighbor, my hope is not in my neighbor. My hope is in my God who can change my neighbor. And when I look at loving my neighbor, my hope is not in my ability to do it. It's in a God who loves me unconditionally, can fill me up with His love and give me a love for this person that I cannot muster up on my own. Some of you this morning, there is someone specific on your mind right now that you do not love. And I am telling you right now, I can't give you three steps to do it. All I can tell you is that you need to confess to a God that loves you and ask Him to help you forgive and love them. And it may take time. But I know a God that can do that. Some of you in this room this morning need to open your eyes up and see who your neighbor is. Because you have ruled some people out. Prejudice has ruled some people out. You've said, I don't want to deal with that kind of person. I don't want to deal. And God has something bigger and better in store, and He wants you to pray and maybe reach out. But we want today, listen, I want today, because you can leave here and you can go, oh yeah, I'm supposed to love people. Okay, I'm going to love people. All right, yeah, I love people. And then by Tuesday, guess what? That's just the noise I make by Tuesday. I don't know what you do, but right? I'm just grumpy and irritated, and that's how they're never going to change, right? So the guys in the room, the guys that have those cards, real quick, if I handed you those before the service started, if you get up right now and start handing those out for me, we're going to give you just one practical tool today. There's a lot of different ways to do this. It's just one reminder. They're going to hand you a card. And on the card, you're going to see when you get it, it says, who's your one? It says, who's your one? It's something that the Southern Baptist Convention's actually pushing right now, but it says, who's your one? And on the back of that card, what we want you to do, I know it's hard to like hand stuff and listen as well. This is really challenging, guys. And I know when you get it, you're just going to want to read it and you tune me out. But listen, we're going to try to do this anyway. When you get the card, you flip it over on the back and you're going to see 30 days. It's got 30 verses, I believe. Is that right? 30? Is that what's on there? 30, 31? Something like that, right? 30 verses. Might be a little small. You might have to pull it back, get your magnifying glass, whatever. 30 verses. Here's the challenge. Love your neighbor as yourself. The challenge for you, and I don't want you to fill it out this morning. I want you to take this with you, pray about it, and say, who is one person? Who is one person that God's putting on my heart that I need to love and pray for the next month? Preferably someone that is distant from God or doesn't know God or is rejecting God or is falling away from God. Who's one person? And you put your name, put their name down, and you take each day and you just read the verse and you try to pray the verse for the person. So for example, I believe the first verse is John 14:6, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's an exclusive verse. It's drawing strict parameters of there's only one way to God. And so my prayer for my person that day is, Lord, you say there's only one way. I don't know if they know this way. God, I pray that they would know you. I pray that they're looking for the way. They're looking for truth. They're looking for life in a lot of places. God, I pray that they would come to find it in you and you alone. Does that make sense? And you just simple prayer. Each day, 30 days. And we're just going to see what God does. Listen, I believe in a God that's at work around us. Amen? And when God's people start praying and then actively looking for ways to show love, guess what happens? It's like a recipe for something amazing. And this takes you through Thanksgiving. and lead you right into Christmas. And we may do this again in December. We may hand out more cards in December and say, try it again. Let's go. But I am trusting that there's going to be some kind of God-sized events that are happening here. And it may not be just 30 days. It may take 30 years. But this is a start, right? Lord, open my eyes to see someone. Lord, let me intentionally pray for someone. Let me trust that you will work in someone, that someone might come to know Christ. Because hear me, Carlisle Creek, this is why we came back to this week, because I believe we're doing a lot of things well. We're doing a lot of things well. We're reaching out. We're doing mission trips. We're supporting. We have folks that are involved locally in ministries that are loving people. We're doing some of that well. We are trying to love each other here. We're doing Sunday school. We're teaching. And we're doing a lot of things well. But hear me, the thing that I think we are dropping the ball on is it's easy for us to settle and pat ourselves on the back and say we're doing this well and lose sight of the fact that there is a world around us that is lost and needs love. And if we stop short of that, then we are choosing just to ignore God. And part of the very reason that he has put us here and the purpose behind why you even exist is to glorify him, to make disciples by sharing the gospel with people. Who's your one? Listen, put it somewhere you don't lose it. Put it preferably in your Bible so you start reading your Bible daily too, looking up the verses, right? But put it somewhere, and let's pray. And when something happens, listen, don't sit on it. Come, small, big, we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate. You say, hey, somebody actually asked me about God. Let us know so we can celebrate, right? Somebody comes to know Christ, let us know so we can celebrate. You go to Thanksgiving meal, and you don't, like, hate somebody, and you walk away loving them more, let us know so we can celebrate, right? That's God at work, amen? But it's time for us to stop doing easy love and start doing Christ-level sacrificial love. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for becoming so consumed with ourselves and our lives that we have lost sight of people around us. Forgive us for becoming so busy that we just don't have time to love anybody. So stressed that we don't feel love for anybody. God, forgive us. Like, we need you to reorient our lives. We need you to reshape our hearts. We need you to renew our minds. God, we need you and your love, Lord, because we can't manufacture this on our own. Lord, I pray that every person in this room would fall madly in love with you and understand better than they ever have the depths and the width and the height and the breadth of your love for them. And in turn, Lord, it would start flowing out to people around us. God, we need you. Lord, sin will hold us back. Some of us just need to confess this morning and find forgiveness. Some of us, it's hard for us to believe that you would even love us. God, help us to understand that and the depths of that. God, we'll just give you the praise. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this service. Would you stand up? We're going to offer you an invitation. She's just going to play. Maybe the Lord's already put somebody on your heart. You just need to come pray for them. Maybe it's you just are struggling to understand God's love for you. Listen, this is your time. This is a great time to come pray for somebody. Great time to get on your face before God and say, here's my one. I just want to start crying out now. Then maybe you need to just come and ask God for forgiveness. But this is the time. We're not going to do this long today. But it's time that we start taking steps in that direction. As God leads, you respond. Altar's open. Come as you are.